Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Bostick is now singing Christmas carols. Did you hear that, Linus?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You just heard him come in here and sing?
Oh, no. I saw him singing to you, though.
Yeah. That was nice. I just had an unbelievable conversation with those two. No pomp today. I'll get that out of the way early. Yes, you're all disappointed and perhaps crushed that pomp isn't here, especially Bobby Horniak. Remember him from yesterday defending pomp?
Yes.
Vehemently, pomp has his minions out there. And, Horny? Can we call him that if he was alive?
No. He's not Patrick Hornquist.
I mean, if your name's Horniak and you're a hockey player, and who's to say he isn't, his nickname could be Horny.
It belongs to Patrick Hornquist.
Okay. So I'm not here to kick around Bob today. I'm sure all the minions will be proud. Part-time pomp will be back maybe tomorrow? Do we know?
Yes, Bob will be here tomorrow.
A Donnie Football Friday
with pomp. Bob.
Anyway, how are you?
I've been better.
What? Anything you can talk about, or should we talk during the break?
Oh, no different than yesterday.
Oh, what's wrong?
I'm okay. Just this weather, 2 degrees. It feels like 2 degrees.
Ah, you millennials are soft limits. Come on.
You're calling me soft. You're soft. If anybody's soft, you're soft.
You're tired? What? Wait, what do you mean you're just okay? You're doing a radio show. You're 23 years old on the only sports talk radio station in the city. And here you are, right in the middle of the day, doing a show.
I'm getting over sinus issues.
Oh. Well, so am I. I told you.
Well, mine have been worse.
How do you know?
Because your voice hasn't been affected.
Yes, it has, as a matter of fact.
It sounds perfectly fine to me. Mine is not.
It's not. Anyway, speaking of good arguments, myself, Dr. Crowley, Dr. Dickerson, and Dr. Bostick in that little hallway right there, I came in a very jovial mood and suggested that Josh Allen is the most talented quarterback who ever lived. We had a discussion about that. The paddy wagon disagreed. Now I forget who he suggested. Oh, Michael Vick? Doran said... Who did Doran say? We just had the conversation. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. So Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Michael Vick. I forget who else we talked about. Crowley might have said Jeff Hostetler from West Virginia.
Yeah. Lamar.
Or maybe... And Lamar was in the conversation in the top five for sure. Steve Young's name came up. You know who belongs in that conversation that I didn't mention as the most talented quarterback who ever lived? And he still doesn't get enough recognition, which is unbelievable considering his post-playing career vocation is putting himself out in public all the time. That's Terry Bradshaw, oh, limitless wonder. And we're talking about a time when I actually think the Steelers did have the first quarterback coach ever. But we're talking about a time when the position was not refined, when it didn't matter if you had more interceptions than touchdowns, you could still win MVP or be in the MVP race. They didn't build and groom and mold quarterbacks back then like they used to. Terry Bradshaw was Josh Allen, except one who won Super Bowls. Did you know that Terry Bradshaw was also a great runner? Limits. Did you know that?
Not really.
Yes, he was. He was a maniac. He had 2,300 yards rushing in his career. He averaged 5.1 yards a carry. He had runs, I'm looking at the long runs of his career, 39, 38, 37, 34, 20. It wasn't like he was just doing quarterback sneaks out there. He was bowling people over like a fullback. He had 32 touchdowns and 2,300 yards rushing. So if we're going to talk about the all-time most talented quarterbacks, and I didn't expect to start here today, except I'm never averse to audibling at the line of scrimmage based on a conversation with two guys who used to play football and one guy who decidedly didn't, and that was Crowley. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, anything?
I could see Josh Allen in that conversation. Now, obviously, with current players compared to historical players, did they do design runs for Terry Bradshaw? Like, I've seen a lot of clips and highlights.
I don't think many of them were designed other than quarterback sneaks. Most of them were just this telephone limits. I think that's for you.
Callis must have turned a ringer on.
Why does he have to sabotage the show every day? I mean, this guy. No, he was a bronking buck. He was like when they let the bull out of the little cage there. I forget what that thing's called. When they open the door, what's that called, Limits? He's checking the phone now to see who called.
I got it fixed.
Thank you. I'm glad. What do they call the thing where they open the door and the buck comes bronking out?
You're talking about like a bullfight?
Yeah, bullfight. Not a bullfight. A bull where the guy rides the bull. Bull riding.
Yeah, bull riding. Called. with the red cape?
That was Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw might have been the most talented overall quarterback ever. How do you like that?
I can see it. I mean, he went four Super Bowls, number one overall pick. You were benched early on in your career.
But right. He overcame all that, but it's more than that. Arm strength? You want to talk arm strength? I'll put him up with anybody. Anybody. I think Terry Bradshaw was the greatest clutch deep ball passer whoever walked the planet. There wasn't no dink and dunk back then. He wasn't going 32 of 37 with all his passes behind the line of scrimmage. He was trying to win Super Bowls with, I'll say, the guts of one of those bulls we're talking about. That's what he did. Go look back at the big throws he made, the long throws he made, the throws where he would make where he would get concussed on the same play, like the one to Lynn Swann in the Super Bowl that they don't talk about against the Cowboys. The one where he unleashed it as he was getting concussed 60 yards in the air. You want to talk about a moon ball that dropped right into Swann's hands in stride at the goal line. Let's talk about that. So arm strength, touch, he had that too. Running ability, had that too. The thing he didn't get credit for, we're talking all-around quarterback? Is that what we're talking here, Limits? The greatest all-around quarterback. I didn't even know if I believed what I said. I was trying to just get a rise out of Doran and Bostic and Crowley when I said I think Josh Allen is the most talented quarterback who ever lived. Let's talk about smarts with Bradshaw. The thing where, because of Hollywood Henderson, everybody had this idea that he was dumb. This is back when you called your own plays all the time. In college, you didn't have somebody with a big, huge piece of cardboard with something painted on it to tell you every play. You didn't stand there at the line and look over to the sidelines and have the coach basically choreograph the entire game for you. In the pros, you didn't have a guy in your ear telling you exactly what would happen on every play and here's our play to combat it. You walked to the line of scrimmage and that was it. You called your play in the huddle. And what he did that was unbelievably unselfish was he knew, well, I'm sure Chuck Knoll did some prodding here. He knew that, the running game, even in the later years to some degree, was their bread and butter, that they needed to do that. He got everybody touches. He kept everybody happy, and he called a brilliant game. You never hear that about Terry Bradshaw.
No, you don't.
I don't know why I'm talking about him with such passion. Because also, when the greatest quarterbacks of all time are mentioned, his name just isn't there. It's not there. And I look at his numbers, and by modern standards, I think, did he have more interceptions than touchdowns in his career?
At one point he did.
No, he had 212 touchdowns and 210 interceptions. But that was life, man. He won the MVP when he had 28 touchdowns and 20 picks. Who wins the MVP with 20 touchdowns? That's just the way it was. So I'm here today, I guess, suddenly, to pay tribute to Terry Bradshaw.
It appears that way.
As maybe, and certainly in the conversation of the most talented and accomplished all-around quarterbacks who ever walked this planet. I just want to say that out loud over and over again. Who would be your pick in your little 23-year-old life, the most talented all-around quarterback? Lamar?
No, it'd probably be Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Just his ability to win in every single situation and circumstance.
Yeah, and I think Mahomes also may not get enough credit for his ability to run.
No, he doesn't. Because when I think of Lamar, I think of a running quarterback.
Yes, how can I not mention Mahomes off the top? It's not my fault. It's Dickerson and Bostic and Crowley's fault. Nobody mentioned Mahomes.
He's a better athlete than Tom Brady, obviously. A lot of quarterbacks are. But he's not a running quarterback. He's somebody who can make things happen with his legs escaping the pocket while also dissecting you like a doctor in the pocket.
Yes, I agree. Of course I agree. We've all seen it. But he can also take off for 40 yards down the sideline like he did against Tennessee in a playoff game. Was it cheap in a way because he always fakes going out of bounds and lures defenders into giving up and then turns and keeps going? Yes. Did it piss me off when he didn't do that and then pulled an acting job against Cincinnati in the AFC title game out of bounds when he got hit slightly out of bounds and it won them the AFC championship? Yes, it did. But that doesn't take away the fact that he also is in this conversation. It's not like he has a weak arm either. He's got an unbelievable arm that cuts through any kind of cold and wind and anything else. And, you know, he'll go 10, 20, 30, 50, 80. He's the guy who has adjusted. He used to have Tyreek Hill. He used to be bombs away in that offense. And then it became more of a timing game. He can do either and all of that and run and escape. And he's brilliant and everything else. That's why he wins games late. So, yeah, he might be the winner.
Yeah.
Why didn't Bostic mention him?
Great question.
Why didn't Dickerson mention him?
What about Marino?
Marino, of course, if we're talking, he might have been the greatest passer of the football. But for me, if we're talking the all-around most talented quarterback who ever lived, I have to include the running aspect there. That's why Josh Allen is on that list for me.
That's fair.
Thank you, Limits. I thought so, too. Which brings us in a very weird and roundabout way to George Pickens again. How do you like that? It's inescapable here. I'm sorry, it just is. It's inescapable that going into this game, that George Pickens is a major storyline. I think that the Browns got to him in Cleveland, and then they were ripping him after the game, right? Didn't Newsom say something about him after the game?
That he was soft.
That he was soft. So you know, based on what's happened in the short time since then, you know that Cincinnati's players were getting into him, right? Clearly they were. They were prodding him. They were inducing him into doing very silly things on the football field. Cleveland's going to try to do the same. He's playing with fire. They're playing with fire with good old George Pickens. So this leads us back into a similar conversation that we were having yesterday with Part-Time Pump, but it becomes underscored here. Limits Beyond. Do you like that nickname?
Does Bob like it?
Probably not, but he ain't here, is he? Huh?
He could hear it. It'll get back to him.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm okay with that. I'm a big boy, Limits. But this is a major storyline going into this game. It is. Because, you know, when you say playing with fire, one of these days, if this keeps up, he's going to cost them a game. Oh, wait a second. He might have already done that. Who knows what happens on that? Was kind of a mini Hail Mary against the Browns. It wasn't like, you know, a 60-yard pass. It was just a where were they at that point? The 35, the 40-yard line, something?
More like the 40-ish.
Yeah, the 40-ish. Yeah, which would be the 35 or 40. The ish part of that means close to that.
I think it was the 45.
Okay, we're moving backwards by the second.
Yes.
By the time this conversation's over, Russell would have thrown it from his own end zone.
I'm just not going to say that he lost him a game based on a Hail Mary, a play that you see maybe once a year.
No. I'm going to say perhaps he did. Perhaps he lost them a chance to win the game. Do you think he did anything wrong on that play?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Was it potentially a game-winning play?
I thought everybody did. Nobody looked for the ball. Nobody looked for the ball.
I think the other guys, I don't believe that. I think the other guy's job, they were told to stand and be on the ground while the high point guy, Pickens, was supposed to go up and tip it. You give yourself then a number. If you have six guys going up and trying to tip the ball, guess what? There's nobody to catch it. The clear design of that, as explained by, I forget who, one of the receivers in the end zone, was we had a high point guy, and the rest of us are supposed to be waiting for it. Well, the high point guy, by that point, was Ron Artest in the palace in Detroit. He was practically in the crowd fighting people. So that's, I hear what you're saying. Yes, of course, that probably wasn't the game-winning play, but he may have cost them a chance to win. He, by his actions, gave up any chance to win on that play.
Yeah, he did.
And we're coming up now on the biggest part of the season, and this guy needs to get that part of his act together. He just does. At 412-928-9370, off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Do we have a lot of treats today? I mean, this is incredible. We have Chris Hoke from 11 to 12. We have Steige at noon. There was a really cool event last night, USA Hockey in Pittsburgh. How often do you see Mario, Sid, Craig Patrick, Jim Rutherford, and Ray Shiro in the same place? You did last night. I didn't. I wasn't there, but people did. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we're obviously going to talk tons of Steelers-Browns. Jeff Hathorn, Donnie Football. It's a star-studded show today. Wouldn't you agree, Limits?
Huge.
How are your sinuses doing now?
Bad.
Are you taking medication?
Like vitamins and stuff.
Vitamins?
Tea?
No, they have stuff that attacks the sinuses. Why aren't you taking sinus medication?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's a great question. I think I'm going to go out and buy you some.
I might need it.
Then there's the other story going in. Well, there's lots of stories going to this game. This is Russell Wilson. This is another repeat story, but it constantly is coming up right now. And that is, what about Russell Wilson's future? Albert Breer, who I think is very good at what he does, put out there this quote. This is what he wrote for Sports Illustrated. My guess would be, in the case of Wilson, if he plays well and Pittsburgh makes a nice playoff run, I would cut that off simply if he plays well, then there may be enough of a divide in a negotiation that the Steelers could let him hit the market and ask him to give them the right to match whatever is out there. What do you think of that? I think that's, in one way it makes sense, but in another way, I would be very aggressive trying to sign Russell Wilson. What are we talking about here? This team was desperate, in a land far beyond desperate for a quarterback. They haven't won a playoff game since Mulsey had hair, since Moby Dick was a minnow, since all of that. The Browns have won a playoff game, by the way. Yesterday, I talked about how this would be an organizational win for the Steelers, a superior organization. But in the last 7 years, guess which one of these organizations has actually won a playoff game? Okay, Mike Tomlin getting tons of credit. And so far this season, he deserves tons of credit. But he also has to take the blame for what has transpired over these years, especially the last couple. He drafted Kenny Pickett. He hired Matt Canada and double and tripled down on the guy. He wrecked years out of Watt and Hayward's careers by those horrible moves. Now he's having a bounce back year. Why? because he also took a chance on Russell Wilson, and he was right. So you better hang on to this guy if he plays well. No, I'm not saying, oh, Russ, yeah, go out, have fun. Yeah, we'll try to sign you later. No, Russell Wilson is a life raft. You don't give up on the life raft. He's given them a quarterback again, which is basically all there is in the NFL. That's a slight exaggeration, but not by much. Because when you don't have one, you got nothing. No chance. He gives them a chance. So you know what? I don't think it's going to take huge quarterback money to sign him, but I'd be almost willing to pay him that. I think I would be willing to pay him that. He's the life raft. If you're hanging on for dear life, you're willing to pay a dear price to keep somebody like that. I have zero confidence that Justin Fields would have the Steelers in this position. I've got no confidence in Fields as a passer in the future. I'm sorry. I just don't. Who was it? Brian Billick told us. Bill Walsh said once you have like 25 games or so, maybe it was 35 starts. I can't remember the exact benchmark. You pretty much know. I think Justin Fields is a pretty good player. I think he gives you elements that other quarterbacks can't. But in terms of the all-important delivering in the pass game, which is kind of important for a quarterback, I'm just not seeing it. If you haven't developed a touch, a feel by this point in your career, when is that exactly happening? Maybe it will, and that would be great if it did. But that he's still a lottery ticket. The other guy's a life raft. Big difference. I'm hanging on to that. I feel pretty good, pretty safe right now. The other guy, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. He's 17-32, for God's sakes. He's made almost 50 starts or played in 50 games at least. That's a lot of games in the NFL to know what you have. And my point there is not to disparage him. I think he's pretty good. I just wouldn't want him. I wouldn't want to put the fate of my franchise with Justin Fields. Would you? I mean, really? I seriously doubt that you would out there. We saw what he was. Incredible runner. Can win you some games. But when it comes to delivering in the pass game consistently, beating people over the top, explosive plays, touch on the ball. You know? Feel for the game. Pocket presence. Things like that. You know, it almost reminds me of, a lot of guys who have talent but didn't get that part of the game. Pickett is one. Although Fields is way more talented than Pickett and a better player. But I think you all know what I'm saying there. Really, the moral of that story is it's not like the Steelers have a second option, option B here, that anybody can feel that good about, including them. They have to bring back Russell Wilson, assuming he doesn't just all of a sudden, you know, hit that point in a career that some guys hit where he can't play anymore. It sure doesn't look like that to me, like that's coming anytime soon. They desperately need to keep him, is what I'm saying here. So to send him off into free agency, you know, like you send off your kid to college, you drive him to the airport, good luck out there. You know, no, not with this guy. You make an aggressive offer to make him want to stay because he appears to love it here and he has a chance to win here. So that may very well happen. Albert Breer may be right that there may be a divide in the organization eventually on what to do with this guy. And that they might let him hit the market and say, come back to us so we can match whatever's out there. To me, that's a dangerous game. Thoughts, limits?
I would bring him back. I would, you know, I worry about what the contract would be for Russell Wilson, but I would bring him back just because of the stability that he's brought to this organization we haven't seen in years. And I'm a big Fields guy, but I worry about what his upside could be or what could turn out to be. I worry about Wilson's age, but at this point, I'd rather just hedge my bets with him.
Now, I'm reading on Steelers Depot. This is a good little summation here. Over the cap projects a quarterback franchise tender of over $41 million for 2025. Right now, the Steelers are projected to have about $53 million in cap space. Would they consider giving Russell that franchise tag to keep him off the market? We were wondering yesterday if the franchise tag was an option. Hell yes, I would do that if that's an option. If that's my only option, of course I would. $41 million. Yes. This just in. Quarterback is really important in this league, and the Steelers are exhibit A of what happens when you don't have one anymore. You never win a playoff game again. Now they have one. Spend money on him. This is a luxury this year. This is wonderful. Next year, you got to figure it out. Keep him. Pay for him. I still don't think he's going to want to get every cent out of them. I don't. I could be wrong about that. Maybe he'll want to hit the market. The dude has made $300 million. There's lots of money in the family, as they say. But that doesn't mean, you know, we talked about Arthur Smith a couple weeks ago. People who want a lot of money tend to want more. But man, I'm doing if this keeps up, I'm doing everything I can to keep that guy, and I don't see any other argument. It's impossible for me to conceive of any other argument given what the Steelers have been through at the quarterback position. 412-928-9370, 928-9370. Off the top again, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. What did Ben do after the game the other day in terms of contacting Russell Wilson? We'll hear about that. We'll hear some of Ben's other thoughts like we do every week from the podcast Footballin'. Couple quotes from Ben, one on Pickens I thought really stood out. Those are the two stories on the docket this morning. If you want to weigh in on the most talented quarterback of all time, you can do that too, but it's Pickens, and will he be able to avoid the bait that is surely coming his way from the Browns? They got him once. Bengals got him too. Now he got them a little bit as well. He did have a, you know, pretty good game. What was it, 75 yards last week? But man, that tends to get undercut. You subtract the penalty yardage, and then you're down to 35 yards or 45.